Welcome to the Ghosts of Taos podcast. I'm your host, M. Elwell Romancito, and I'm going to walk you through some of the stories, tales, and rumors of the supernatural, ghosts, and the paranormal of Taos, New Mexico. Thank you for joining me. This episode of the Ghosts of Taos podcast was brought to you by Taos Art Supply, located at 208 Ranchitos Road, Suite C. Thomas Merton said, "Art enables us to find ourselves and lose ourselves at the same time."
Take a stroll down historic Kit Carson Road. Take your time. Every shop has something unique to offer. Traditional Taos Pueblo arts and crafts, curios, collectibles, vintage books on the region. Wander and visit with several working artists' studios. See what brought them to Taos to create. Many leading galleries are also along the street. Gallery Row, it has been coined, featuring an abundance of Taos and regional artists with price points for the beginner to the seasoned collector. Two historic compounds ground Kit Carson Road. The Kit Carson Home and Museum takes you back to old-time Taos living and the life of mountain man Kit Carson. Explore the studios of Anger Irving Kaus and Joseph Henry Sharp, founding members of the Taos Society of Artists. These two painters helped create the cultural fabric of Taos and the West as we know it today. Two visionary painters whose art captured the Southwest and whose art are in national collections and museums around the country. Take a little detour and walk down Dragoon Lane to Kit Carson Cemetery and see if you can recognize notable headstones of historical figures. Stay on Kit Carson Road at the historic Casa Benavides Bed and Breakfast, where you can find the best granola in town, or live it up at El Monte Sagrado Resort. There's free municipal parking, and so you can park and enjoy the day at no charge. Take a stroll down historic Kit Carson Road. Take your time.
Underneath the plaza and stretching in all directions is a network of tunnels. Many of these tunnels are mere holes dug in the ground. Others are part of a more elaborate network, which have been since turned into storage areas, filled in with dirt, or blocked with masonry and shelving. There are some stretches of the tunnel that have not seen the light of day since the time of their digging. Whatever or whoever walks there walks alone in the dark of a thousand fears. The tunnels were dug in the 1700s to hide from raiding bands of Comanches, whose loosely drawn mission statement was to devil all the Spanish outposts and colonies in what is now the American Southwest. The Comanches were known for their relentless cruelties towards captives. Experts at torture, they were known best for burying someone still alive up to their necks with their face toward the rising sun. Then they would cut off their eyelids. It is no surprise the very air trapped in those deeper reaches are mixed with exhalations of fear. The very earth of the tunnels and the unfinished walls must be soaked with abject terror as to what might happen should the lid of a hidey hole be pried open. Over the decades and the centuries, the legends about the tunnels have really piled up, like spooky treasure in Taos's famous and violent past. The tunnels are no longer open to the public, so you'll just have to take my word for it when I say they exist. They are dark, and there is something down there.
The book, Ghosts and Haunted Places of Taos, is written and illustrated by M. Elwell Romancito and is available on our website, ghostsoftaos.com, and through lulu.com. Do you have a story you'd like to relate of a paranormal Taos experience? We not only spin ghost stories and tales of the supernatural, we collect them. Email us at taosexperience@gmail.com and tell us all about it.
The Ghosts of Taos presents The Hot Box of Horror. In The Hot Box of Horror, your scream is slightly muffled. Visit thehotboxofhorror.com for more.
Hotbox number one.
Okay, now you tell one.
When I was younger, I used to, let's start with this. I grew up in a, rural-ish area, so they had abandoned warehouses, and we had big old, concrete ponds. I don't really know how to describe them besides that.
Like cisterns?
Possibly. They were really weirdly built. I can't even, Google them. I think the engineer or the architect that built them didn't even know what he was wanting to do with them, because it was supposed to be something else besides a warehouse. But nevertheless, I was crawfishing is what I used to call it. I used to rub it up and down the concrete, and I used to love to catch crawfish. I was a tomboy growing up. And one of those days, I wasn't paying attention. It had rained, and I slipped, fell on mud, rock right into my knee. Super painful. I was in elementary school. I was dragging my leg for weeks. Absolute pain. And I couldn't tell if it was the fever or what it was, but I was laying in my bed that night. I had rolled up the windows, and it was 98 plus degrees, Houston weather, humid as heck. It was nasty. And I'm trying to fall asleep, and it's probably just a little bit after midnight. I'm trying to convince myself to sleep, and out of nowhere I hear pitter patter. And I'm like, what is the sound? My sister's not home. My parents should be asleep. What does the sound like? My dogs are outside, but I can hear the sound of claws in the tile, and I can hear it in the carpet. I can hear something ripping the carpet as it's walking. And I'm like, okay, that is clearly not my dog Argus. What is that? And as I'm processing it all, I'm like, clearly it's my brother messing with me. So I scream, I grab my pillow, Mario, leave me alone. I toss it at the darkness, because that's what I assumed it was. And it was towards the sound. And as that pillow landed the floor, something gurgled at me. It made this sound. And I panicked. I popped out of the bed. And I looked around, and I was screaming my head off. I was like, quit messing with me, leave me alone. I really thought it was my brother, and the sound of pitter-patter increased, and it got louder. And I freaked out. I threw the blanket over my head. And as I was hearing it, I could hear it get closer and closer. And I finally decided to pick up the cover, because I could feel it. I could feel the breathing on me. Hmm. And I was like, what is the sound? And out of where it was coming from was the carpeted hallway, and it was hitting the tile. And as it passed the carpet to the tile, the claw mark started to change. It started to sound like claws and hooves. And I was like, claws and hooves, what is this? I finally I'm peeping out the cover. I grab a flashlight, and it is nothing that I've ever seen in life. It was this horrendous creature that had hooves for feet on the back end, but the front was all wolf. But its face wasn't either bear nor lion. It was this weird deformed mutinous creature with exposed teeth, and it was all black, and its fur was all over the place. And it lounged at me like it wanted to attack me, but instead of lounging and getting me, it crawled up the window, and it kind of hung there. And it disappeared in the middle of the night, and I was like, I am sure to be crazy. I woke up the next morning, I started pinching myself, I'm like, I'm crazy.
We're all crazy.
I kid you not.
Join the club.
There was claw marks on the window the following morning. I do not know what they were. I do not know what it was. I do not know, but I know that it was real because there was claw marks on the window. They were far too big to be raccoon. They were far too big to be my turkey. I have no idea where those claws came from, but they were on my window exactly where that thing touched.
Thank you for listening. If you're curious about the podcast, your host, our stories, or other information about the Ghosts of Taos, visit our website at ghostsoftaos.com for photos, videos, books, and more. I hope you'll join me again for the Ghosts of Taos podcast. Until next time.